Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
Wherever you stand on the topic of global warming, and you know where I stand, I'm pretty passionate about it. I'm pretty passionate about climate change and the science behind it, and I don't understand people that are denying it because brilliant scientists like my guest are saying this is what's happening. And today we're talking about climate change and waterborne illness with Dr. Kim Knowlton. She's the senior scientist and deputy director of the Science Center at the National Resources Defense Council. Dr. Knowlton, so waterborne illnesses, people think of that as India, the water running down the street that's contaminated, but that's really not all we're talking about, is it?
No, it's not, Melanie. And thanks for having me here on the show. As you say, waterborne illnesses, big concern in the developing world, but right here in the U.S., it's more of a concern, a persistent concern, than people realize. It's estimated that when you include unreported cases, there's between 4 and 33 million waterborne gastrointestinal illnesses that occur each year here in the U.S. So it really pays to think about it, talk about it, think about what kind of events, which we're going to talk about, can really precipitate those waterborne illness outbreaks.
So let's talk about those events, because some of the waterborne related diseases we've heard of, cholera and botulism and diarrhea, of course, you know, hepatitis, poisonings, malaria. I mean, there's so many things that you hear about, worms and things. And tell us about how these things come about in the waters.
Well, I'm thinking in particular of three big categories of these pathogens, the critters, the bugs, the disease-causing agents that can cause those infectious illnesses. I'm thinking of parasites like Cryptosporidium. It caused a huge outbreak of waterborne illness in 1993 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Or bacteria like E. coli. We hear a lot about E. coli on food, but it can also contaminate water supplies. And then there's viruses like norovirus that can get into our water supply. The connection to is twofold. One, there are already more extreme rainfall events happening as temperatures in the atmosphere and in the oceans and our waters rise. A warmer atmosphere can just hold more water vapor. And when it finally does rain, it tends to be these huge downpours, deluges. Those can wash those pathogens, disease-causing agents, into lakes that we like to swim in and boat in. They can wash the pathogens into drinking water supplies. And sometimes, and more often, the volume of those storm water, that flood water, is so great that even our drinking water treatment systems can't cope with them. That can put us in close contact with these disease-causing agents.
Wow. So as these things run down and it trickle down, get it? Trickle down to the different aspects of our lives, because water obviously is the source of everything that we need from our plants. So our plants that we're using to water and our drinking, our shower, everything can be possibly contaminated and affected by this. So the scope of the problem, Dr. Knowlton, the dimension is huge. What do you, as a senior scientist, have to say of what can we even do to start this situation?
Well, it's a great question, Melanie, and a couple things come to mind. One, because climate change is fueling the extreme rainfall events, the downpours, the warmer water temperatures that contribute to harmful algal blooms, another type of waterborne illness-causing event. It makes a ton of sense for us to do everything we can to trim, to limit climate change at its root cause, and that means reducing carbon pollution and moving toward cleaner, healthier energy sources. The second thing that comes to mind is, after big rainfall events, we should really pay attention to the beach closures or the don't fish advisories or the boil water orders. Those are issued for our own health, for our own public health, and the good of ourselves and our families. So it's really a great idea to be mindful of those. And there's a lot we can do to protect our health in those two ways: preventing climate change at the source, preparing for the events that we already know we're seeing more and more of in the U.S. and around the world.
And that's great advice, because people don't pay attention to the signs that say bacteria levels high, don't swim today. They say, ah, please, and they just go in anyway. And then they've exposed themselves. And after a rainfall, we do need, you know, people think it's just the opposite, Dr. Knowlton. After a rainfall, we're all washed clean. and that everything is now cleaned and the sidewalks and things and sewers are all sort of flushed and bathed. But it's really not the case.
No, you're right. It's really not the case. There's already been an increase in the last century in the amount of rain falling in the U.S., about a 20% increase. But most of that has been in these big downpour events that have been linked to waterborne illness outbreaks. And that's only going to increase in the future if we let climate change continue. There's some model projections that are suggesting there could be a fivefold increase in the number of those extreme rainfall events by the end of this century. And there's going to be more health concerns from that. So it pays for us to act right now to protect our health today and in the future.
And what about our water filtration systems? I happen to live in Illinois, and in the town I live, we have a really amazing water supply. It's, I mean, from Lake Michigan, and it's filtered very well. I mean, they listed us as having really great tap water. But I do get concerned. These filter systems are getting older, and obviously Lake Michigan is probably getting more contaminated as boats and things and rainfall get in there. What can we do? How do we trust? What would you do? Do you drink your tap water? Bottled water so bad for the environment and the plastic containers. What's a person to do?
I do enjoy my tap water. I'm talking to you from New York City, and we, too, have a surface water supply. It's not as yet filtered, and it's considered, you know, a jewel in our crown. We're so fortunate to have excellent drinking water quality. But for me, it makes sense, and I do everything I can to try and do a few things to support really smart land use practices to protect those watersheds we have. That's one thing. Two, I do pay attention to the information about when there's been big rainfall events or any types of challenge to the quality of water. Third, it makes a lot of sense for our cities, our counties, especially cities that and communities that have municipal water supplies, to take the effects of climate change into account and to put those into their planning for their future infrastructure. And the last piece is our infrastructure is so important to all of our public health, from drinking water to wastewater treatment plants, all kinds of infrastructure. So we can be active citizens and support the upgrading of that infrastructure. That's going to protect our health and our kids' health.
So, Dr. Knowlton, give some information and websites. We have about a minute and a half or so left. Give some information where people can get some websites, where people can get direct information that give them, besides what we're saying here, and it's great, it's so succinctly put, and you're such a good guest, but where people can get information where they can download a list of things they can do right now and recommendations about water supply, bacteria levels, what they can do.
You bet. I'd be happy to. The organization at which I work, the Natural Resources Defense Council, NRDC, has a really strong website. It's at www.nrdc.org/climatemaps. That's plural, M-A-P-S at the end. It has a series of six maps of the whole U.S. where all of your listeners can basically zoom in on their community, their state, their county, and see these different challenges to health from climate change, from flooding to heat to air pollution, with others that we haven't had a chance to talk about as yet today. And they can learn what people are doing to prepare and to prevent climate change. They can read more about the Clean Power Plan, which the EPA has just has finalized this last summer, which is going to be a fantastic way to reduce carbon pollution in really significant ways and protect our health and improve air quality now and reduce climate change in the future. So they can read all about that at www.nrdc.org.
Climate maps, and that's where you can get information. And we will have Dr. Knowlton on again because there's so many different climate change health effects that we need to get to besides just the waterborne. So we got more coming up with her. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and stay well.